This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Julia Jacobs with T. Xiao Eek. So two stories for you as always. In our first story, while China is slowly easing travel restrictions in Hubei, other countries across the world are only beginning to impose stricter travel and movement restrictions as the coronavirus widens its spread. Are changes like movement restrictions and social distancing our new normal for the foreseeable future? So we're going to take a look at that.
Yeah, and continuing, of course, the threat of COVID-19 now with many performers and audiences around the world having to stay at home, many world-class performances are actually being streamed online for free. And so from ballet to Broadway, we'll be taking a look at how we can get some culture while obeying the stay-at-home order. And on that note, we're asking you on Twitter, do you think we will go back to our normal routines for work, studies, business and entertainment when the movement control order is over? Your options are yes or no. We must change. So you can take that poll at BFM Radio or tweet us any of the other thoughts you have. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899.
All right, and on to our first story. So, I mean, what is normal anymore, right? Yep. You know, for many of us across the globe, the COVID-19 pandemic has really upended our lives and our daily routines. I mean, just a few weeks ago, most of us were still heading into our office for work, sending children to school, attending classes at university, or, you know, even just visiting our friends and family on the weekends. Yep. But, you know, for a lot of us, none of this is happening, well, not in person at least. Yeah. And right now, most of us are either working or studying from home and speaking to friends and families via video calls. Some of us are still receiving our monthly wages, you know, thankfully, while others sadly are forced to close their businesses for the time being and are, you know, wondering how they'll be able to buy essentials for their families. Yeah. So it's a time full of uncertainty for the future and also for the present, leaving many of us wondering, you know, is this our new normal for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, if you just look at the number of COVID-19 cases, they're still on the rise. They're continuously increasing. Just about 3 days ago, the tally worldwide crossed the 500,000 mark. And the latest numbers by the World Health Organization show that there are more than 638,000 cases worldwide, more than 30,000 deaths, and about 150,000 or so who have recovered. And let's take a look at the original epicenter of the outbreak, which is Wuhan in China. There's some positive news there. Luckily, the Chinese government is beginning to ease travel restrictions in the Hubei region as the number of cases there begin to fall. But in fact, the epicenter of the disease has not disappeared. It's just moved to other countries. So about 2 weeks ago, the WHO's Director General, Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus, announced that the epicenter has moved to Europe as cases spike in Italy and Spain. And now with an alarming rise of cases in the United States, there are fears that the epicenter could yet move once again.
Yeah, and it's hard to see or predict when the pandemic will end with so much uncertainty looming over us. Yeah. You know, if you look at China's aggressive public health measures in combination with movement control in the Hubei province, it took them about 3 months to get the number of cases under control. But with many countries' healthcare systems struggling to cope and, you know, with some governments' unwillingness to take strict measures, there are many public health experts who predict the COVID-19 pandemic is likely to last until the end of this year in some countries, with further repercussions to last into the future.
Yeah, and here in Malaysia, we've seen our government and Ministry of Health taking stricter measures, both in terms of public health and movement control, where it's been deemed necessary. So our cases now stand at 2,470 with 35 deaths and 388 recoveries. We saw the implementation of the movement control order, which was initially scheduled from 18th to 31st March. That's been extended for another 2 weeks until the 14th of April. And our Prime Minister, Tan Sri Muhyiddin, has said that the government will continue to review the MCO from time to time, which could mean further extension if the 4 weeks aren't enough to break the chain of infection.
Yeah, and for many Malaysians, the new normal is for us to remain at home as far as possible and to only leave the house to quickly do some grocery shopping or, you know, if you work in essential services such as us in the media. And with two economic stimulus packages already announced, it does seem unclear if we will ever return to the normal it was before.
Yeah, but in the midst of all these uncertainties, changes, upheavals, we're also seeing people and communities come together to help each other out when in need. So we got in touch with senior lecturer in psychology, Dr. Karim Betash, And in this clip, he explains how our values in society have changed. And he also weighs in on whether these values will change in the long term as a result of the pandemic.
This is a time that we literally need to reflect, okay? So the whole world, not just Europe, not just North America, but the whole world has imported a Western-style, competitive, neoliberal, capitalistic system. So what does that mean? In a neoliberal, capitalistic system, we have learned that we need to be free agents, we need to be entrepreneurial, we need to be very individualist, and we need to compete with each other for profit, for money. And what has this resulted in? It has resulted in a very fractured, individualistic society where everyone wants to be the best, everyone needs to have success. And this has created a competitive society all over the world. Malaysia, Japan, countries in South America, it doesn't matter. It has been exported and imported all over the world, this Western-style, individualistic, capitalistic system. And now, during a pandemic, we realize how much connected we actually are and how we have destroyed this connection among each other because we live in this system of perpetual competition with each other. Okay, slowly we have eroded all sense of community. Most people don't even talk to their neighbors. Let that sink in for a moment. And what has that done? We realize now, during a pandemic, that we need each other. Okay, we're all related. This capitalistic system also works on a global level. You have wars for profit in the Middle East, for example. But what does that do? People in the West, for example, often think, oh, that's far away. But now we realize that even wars for profit in faraway countries can become breeding grounds for pandemics. And again, we're all interrelated, so we will all suffer in a world where we are not interconnected, where we don't respect each other. So hopefully, this is a very, very crucial warning sign to most people that we live in a system that doesn't work for us as social creatures, as human beings, that we need a different system that is not just focused on profit, on winning, on success, on entrepreneurialism, but actually that we try and build a community that relies more on ethics of community, of morals, of respect to each other, okay? So that we have a more social or sociable environment where instead of always competing, that the center becomes cooperation, okay? A system, a world, a culture where we cooperate each other.
We've also heard from governments and leaders across the world about potential solutions to managing the COVID-19 pandemic. Mm-hmm. A few weeks back, Sir Patrick Vallance, who is the UK government's chief scientific advisor, told Sky News that they plan to build herd immunity within the UK population. Mm. This resulted in a swift backlash because it meant allowing parts of the population to fall sick with the virus in order to build immunity towards it.
Yeah, I mean, while it is a viable option, you know, in textbook terms, it is a painful one. Because what it means is allowing health systems to be overrun with patients, allowing the death toll to rise enormously, and the pandemic may be shorter-lived. But how acceptable is it to us as a society to give up and give in? Dr. Karim also weighs in on this.
Well, even though this might sound as a rational cost-benefit analysis, okay, in psychology, we have something called a moral dilemma. For example, if we can choose to kill someone, but at the same time save two people, would you be willing to do it? If you would be a rational being, probably you would say yes. But if the moment comes and you really have to make that decision to kill someone to save two other people, you probably will not do it. So a rational cost-benefit analysis does not work for human beings because we are not rational human beings, okay? So even though Western philosophy tends to assume that we are rational, logic beings, we're actually not. So when you ask me the question, should we allow the virus to spread widely among society and accept that there will be a high number of deaths, so that we can get herd immunity? If we were completely rational, we would say sure. But let's be honest. Most people have grandmother. Most people have granddad. A lot of people have older parents, maybe some weaker parents, or maybe even younger people that are weaker. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to expose yourself to the virus and walk around your family members who you love so much and risk spreading the virus to those you love and who are actually vulnerable? I don't think so. I am not a biological scientist, so I don't know what would be the best solution. I just know that this does not seem like a rational solution to me, because we as human beings are not rational, we are emotional, and most of us are not willing to risk the ones that we love.
So if behaving rationally is not a human trait, then another option we can consider is the possibility of having our daily routines changed for the long run. Mm-hmm. In a recent op-ed, Dr. Amar Singh and Dr. Lim Swee Im wrote that a realistic exit strategy is continuing much of what the normal is now for the foreseeable future. So this means continuing to maintain social or rather physical distancing as a long-term lifestyle by rethinking how we do social gatherings, how we work and teach, and how we move about and also how we move around. It means continuing to maintain the high levels of personal hygiene like we do now, which is a sad thing that we're not doing that in the past, as well as remembering to wear a mask whenever you feel unwell, even if it's just for a simple cold.
These are just changes that we would have to make at the personal level. Other changes such as the use of AI and technology, the preparedness to respond to pandemics, and the need to screen travellers have to be done at the government level. But, you know, so many changes at so many levels. Are we as a global society ready to implement these changes? Well, Dr. Karim doesn't think we are, unless we're willing to make other changes.
If we have to make such changes, then there must be extreme cooperation. And at this point, we are not living in a system where we are helping and cooperating each other. Okay, we have been living for such a long time under a very competitive capitalist system that we have lost the way to cooperate. Okay, people are segregated based on class, based on gender, based on sexual orientation, based on religion, and even still based on a nonsense characteristic called race. Okay, race is based on what we can see. So if somebody has a different eye shape or a different skin color, we have called that race. This has been imposed by us during Western colonialism, and people are still living by those weird segregations. What happens in a capitalistic system is that all these groups of people compete with each other. Everybody wants to be on top. Everybody wants to be the most successful. So as long as we live in this competitive environment where we are dividing ourselves up based on gender, race, you name it, and at the same time competing with each other to have the biggest piece of the pie, then this is not going to work. So we have to really scientifically and philosophically rethink the way we live and think as a species, as creatures, as human beings. If we're all competing with each other, but also countries with each other and religious and so forth, it's not going to work. Okay, so if you want a future where we respect each other, where we do social distancing, where we are screening each other, where we are helping each other when we have problems and so forth, again, we need a deep, deep rethinking of the way we live right now and everything that we assume as normal.
Finally, we asked Dr. Karim whether he thinks we can ever return to normal after the pandemic is under control and movement restrictions are lifted.
I don't think so. And to be very honest, I hope not. Okay, so I hope we are now finally rethinking the way we are living now. It doesn't work. We are at the brink of a climate disaster. COVID-19 is a small example of what to come, just like the fires in Australia. I think one of the biggest questions we have to ask ourselves right now Do we want to keep living in a competitive capitalist world like this, where we will have increasingly more disasters? Climate change is very, very near. We are in a state of perpetual global wars that will create more and more disaster, more and more diseases, more suffering, and so forth. So this all sounds very, very doomy, what I'm saying here, and I'm very sorry to sound so negative, but I do this also as a wake-up call. We have to think bigger picture right now. We cannot think about our individual behaviors as being disconnected from the big system we are all part of. We can say, okay, I need to change this. I need to stop throwing plastic on the streets. I have to stop flying so much with the airplanes because it's all bad for climate change. If we still live in a huge system where we can only survive by competing with others, and in a system where we allow very powerful corporations to drain our earth, to make people pay for necessary things, such as healthcare, nothing will change. So, are we expected to return to normal? No.
So that was social psychologist Dr. Karim Bitash. So he thinks that life won't return to normal after this, but what about listeners?
Yeah, so we did ask you on Twitter, do you think we will all go back to our normal routines just like nothing had ever happened, you know, when the movement control order is over or when we deem that the pandemic sort of has been dealt with, done and dusted?
Done, out of our way,
yeah. Yeah, well, 83% of you said, no, we have to change. 17% of you say yes. A couple of comments as well. Naomi says, more work from home, with two exclamation marks there. I'm guessing she's very excited about that prospect. Xian said, we should expect a new normal for everything, possibly even after a vaccine is successfully mass distributed. And we know that something like that would take a long time to, you know, even be available for most of the population.
Right.
And over on WhatsApp, Maggie said, we must definitely review and change. If we are still going to focus on lopsided development, we have really insulted the human intelligence. The threat to urbanites is definitely food supplies if things don't improve. We cannot live on concrete and cement. I like that. I'm going to have that as my motto. And if you look at countries that have maintained a measure of agricultural supplies, things are not as dire yet. Yet being the operative word there. We are going to see this pandemic potentially decimate systems if mitigation and control measures aren't properly instituted.
That's right. And I mean, we're not seeing change in the sense, like, I mean, where did this all originate from, right? It originated from a lack of respect for nature in that sense, right?
Yeah.
Eating wild animals,
yes.
You know,
poaching, trafficking,
you know, yep. Encroaching into these spaces, you know, and I mean, how many countries are going to stop development or, you know, the deforestation in their countries, you know, with this in mind? And I'm not sure that will happen. I do hope it will.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not quite sure.
Memories are short.
That's right. Feel.
Yeah. And also, you know, you talked about origins. I'm also looking at impact now. We are hearing so much about the struggles of the B40 communities, the struggles of those working in irregular jobs like hawker stall operators, tourist guides, people who are just going to fall through the cracks, no matter how much assistance the government tries to give. And that, I think, really underscores the fact that it's the social determinants that will determine how you fare when the system breaks.
Mm-hmm. And we've seen the system break.
Yes. And when you have a large population of our society still living in very low income conditions, not being supported by social safety nets, pandemics and outbreaks like this really show where the cracks are.
Definitely. I mean, if we look at even in when things were normal, we've had so many cases of, you know, refugees, you know, running, seeking assistance in other countries and, you know, not facing and facing so much of difficulties. And we've heard that, you know, in Cox's Bazar, one of the biggest refugee settlements in the world, it has already reached there. What kind of assistance? I mean, how are they going to practice social distancing?
Right.
There's no such thing.
What kind of healthcare facilities could they possibly expect?
Exactly. Mm. You know, so things do have to change. I'm just not sure whether the people in charge will actually do that.
On an individual level, will people themselves change?
I don't know. I think, like you said, you know, memories are short. You know, once things are normal, once we can find bread again and we forget.
Right, yeah.
We forget how difficult these past few weeks have been. Yeah, we will just
forget to wash our hands and just stay clean.
Yeah, and just observe social distancing or just, you know, good manners. We've seen people lining up for a change, right? Something that we never experienced for a long time in Malaysia. So, but hopefully people will remember this. I mean, it has been a global pandemic and it's affected everyone regardless of I suppose social status. Maybe that will have some impact.
Yeah. So do weigh in on our poll on Twitter. Do you think we will go back to our normal routines for work, studies, business and entertainment when the movement control order is over? You can share your thoughts at BFM Radio or you can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Yes, we're going to take a short break now, but we're going to leave you with David Bowie and Changes. You are tuned to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.